Good morning, everybody. Let's see, it's my privilege to get to introduce Zach Manheimer as our speaker today. Zach is the executive director of the Des Moines Social Club. Let's see a little bit about Zach. After a road trip from New York City to 22 cities around the country, Zach chose to settle in Des Moines in 2007. Here he founded the Des Moines Social Club, an arts and educational nonprofit focused on the recruitment and retention of young people using arts as a catalyst to create unprecedented community engagement. Since opening in 2009, the Social Club has hosted over 500 arts-related events and over 200,000 patrons. Founding the project from scratch, Zach has raised over $7 million towards this goal and serves as the executive director. Currently, Zach is in the middle of a project campaign to purchase and renovate the 1937 downtown fire station as the Des Moines Social Club's permanent home. Zach has taught and lectured at NYU, Central College, and Wagner College. He's published articles and essays in the New York Theater Review and the American Theater magazines, and his theatrical work has been featured in Time Magazine, USA Today, The Village Voice, New York Times, and the Des Moines Register. Zach has produced and or directed over 25 professional theater and outdoor festivals. His awards include the 2011 Des Moines Citizen of the Year, the Iowa Governor's Volunteer Award, the 2009 Des Moines Young Professional of the Year, and 40 Under 40 for the National New Leaders Council. Zach co-owns and operates Proof Mediterranean Restaurant in the downtown Gateway District, and is the wine writer for the Des Moines Magazine. Let's see, he holds a dual BA in theater arts and philosophy from Muhlenberg College in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and shares his home with his loving wife, Sarah, daughter and son, Mira, and Benjamin, and there's one more on the way. Would you like to join me in welcoming Zach to the Des Moines Social Club? To the First Friday Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everyone. This is a big privilege and honor for me. I've heard about your group ever since I've moved here. I've been here a little over 6 years now. So thank you very much for inviting me to come today. I apologize for the insanely long bio. So I am, as you were saying, this. I'm not originally from Des Moines. I grew up outside Philadelphia. After college, I moved to London for about a year, and then I was in New York City for almost 10 years in Brooklyn. And in New York, I ran theaters and restaurants and decided the last thing New York needed was another theater or another restaurant. They were pretty good on that, so I decided I wanted to leave, but I didn't know where I wanted to go. So I went on this ridiculous trip during the summer of 2007, and I visited 22 different cities around the country. I was going to cities that were roughly half a million population in metro. I was looking for cities that had an up-and-coming cultural scene, but not something completely established yet, an up-and-coming culinary scene. I wanted a city that had a downtown that was looking to revitalize itself, and a city that had an issue with its retention and recruitment of young people. And Des Moines hit all of those marks. There were a few other cities that did as well, and so it was a difficult decision. And I moved here in September of 2007, thinking, well, I'll give it a year, and if it doesn't work, I'll move to the next city that I wanted, which was Reno. And strangely, Reno and Des Moines on paper are identical, which is really bizarre. The major, in terms of population and everything, the major difference is do you want high risk or low risk? Those are the main differences, as well as climate. But otherwise, so I moved here and I got started right away. Des Moines, as I'm sure all of you know, has been an extremely welcoming place. I got to know people very quickly. I was able to take a job as the maitre d' at the Des Moines Embassy Club when it was on top of the 801 Grand building. I worked up there for about 8 months until we were able to get our first grant to open the first version of Des Moines Social Club. So first of all, before I go further into that, I believe, and this is something I tell a lot of my friends and family back east on the coast there, that Des Moines is really the last major city, in my opinion, where you can really pioneer, where you can really do something new. To me, everything that are on the coast, something wrong with that, but it's been done before. If you want to do something new, you may be able to do that, but it's going to take you 20 to 30 years of your life. I wanted to see work be spread out. I was very inspired by the 1920s Little Theater movement, when theater companies on the East Coast left that area and moved across the country and ended up partnering with universities, and that gave birth to the regional theater movement as we have it today. I wanted to see something like that happen again. To me, the major cities were oversaturated, and we had enough artists doing what they thought they wanted to do in those areas, and it didn't matter how talented you were, you still would have trouble getting work. So I thought there were other places in the country to do this, and it turns out I was right. Des Moines pretty much embraced this idea as best they could right from the start. We met lots and lots of artists. There are in a quick count, we find that there's at least 1,000 working artists living in central Iowa. There's probably many more that we haven't met, but we've worked with all of those people in the last 5 years. We want to expand that and build that out even further. So what we're trying to do as Des Moines Social Club are three things. Number one, we want to be a home for local artists to create and present their work. That's very important to us. So if you grow up in Des Moines and you want to be a painter and you want one of your pieces to hang one day in the Des Moines Art Center, you literally have to leave Des Moines and go become famous somewhere else for your work ever to be hung at the Des Moines Art Center, which is not the Des Moines Art Center's fault. It's the fact that there is no bridge. You've got the Art Center and you've got a few galleries, but mostly you're dealing with coffee shops. So there is no career path for a visual artist here in Des Moines. We want to plug into the middle of that and help those artists do that. So that's number one. Number two, we work with dozens of corporations every day on the retention and recruitment of young people. As an example, Pioneer Hybrid is one of our biggest supporters. They support us because they're going to be hiring 1,000 young scientists over the next 10 years. And those scientists come from major metropolitan areas around the world. Many of them are not, they have a certain lifestyle they're used to in those cities that they don't feel will exist here in Des Moines. We add a little bit of the cool factor or things of that nature. I'm going to be 36 next week, so I can't say that anymore. They don't feel that Des Moines has just yet. So Pioneer is a big supporter of us. We help them recruit talent to come here to Des Moines, and we help keep the talent here as well. Excuse me. Thirdly, though, and this is the most important mission I feel we have, and this is more of a 20-year goal. We want to mix groups. We want to mix people. To me, Des Moines is a high school. These people hang out here, these people hang out here, these people hang out here. It's very like-minded groups of people that don't often mix except in the workplace. As soon as the work day is over, they go to where they feel safe and comfortable. And everybody's very nice, but we're not seeing a mix of people. So we want to blend that, and we want to get two groups of people as opposite as possible in the same place at the same time. And the way that we do that is by trying to produce at least two different events every single evening. And this will definitely be true when you move into the firehouse next year. So the best example of this happened when we first opened the club. When we were back down on Papa John Sculpture Park, we were in what is now the Microsoft building, the Flynn Wright building. Looks a lot nicer now than when we had it. When we had it, it was held together by dirt. We loved every piece of that dirt. So we opened, and a group came to us. The first group to ever rent our theater space was a group called 3X Wrestling. And they did WWE-style fake wrestling. I hope I didn't blow anybody's minds with that. We never anticipated having wrestling be done in our theater, but they had money, and we said yes. And so they said, we're going to rent your space out once a month, every first Friday, and we said, terrific. So they started doing their show that first Friday. Coincidentally, completely by chance, we had booked in our bar and cabaret stage in the front of the building a jazz and poetry evening on the exact same night. Now, There are very specific types of people that come to see wrestling. There are also very specific types of people that come to see jazz and poetry. These two types of people will never be caught dead in the same place at the same time. So it was a very interesting social experiment that happened by accident in the beginning. So the first time we did this, the wrestlers all went to the theater and the poets went to the bar, and the only time they intermixed was when they wanted to get a drink. And they would get their drinks and they'd scurry off to their other places, and there was zero discussion whatsoever between the groups. Second month, basically the same thing. Third month, the wrestlers are on their intermission. And they're all running to the bar, getting their drinks, and running back to the theater very quickly so to avoid any of the poets and, you know, whatever they think. However, there were these two wrestlers that were standing, drinking a beer, about 5 feet away from me, watching the poets. And suddenly they turned to me and they said, "Hey, are you the guy who runs this place?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Listen, we'd like to speak to you in private." And these guys are like 6'5", and, you know, twice my size. And I was like, okay. So we sat down in my office, and I asked what I could do for them. And they said, "Listen, we'd like to get more involved." And I said, "Well, that's great." And I threw out 10 different volunteer opportunities to them and so forth. And they said, "That sounds great, but we have something else in mind." And they looked around to make sure nobody was listening. And they whispered to me, "We both write poetry." And then they asked if they could read their poems at the club. And I said, "Well, of course you can. It's an open mic. Anybody can." And thus began our wrestling and poetry evenings. What happened the next month was the wrestlers went, they did their thing. On break, they came to the bar, they got up and read their poems, and they were actually pretty good, and then they went back and wrestled. It was very bizarre. The next month, the people watching the wrestlers came out and started watching the poetry, at first just to support their friends, and then they began to get into it. And by the sixth month, more and more of them were watching. By the seventh month, the poets, encouraged by this behavior, said, "We should probably return the favor and go check out what they do." They started going and watching the wrestling. About 10, 11 months in, we actually had changed the times of the events so people could go to both things. And about a year and a half in, you couldn't tell who was coming for what. Earlier on, you could tell who was coming for what almost based on what they were wearing. At this point, it was a complete mix. This was also during the 2008 caucuses. So the political discussions that were going on in that bar were amazing. They were going on until 2 a.m. And it's a generalization, but most of the wrestlers tended to be Republican and most of the poets tended to be Democrat. And there was amazing political discussions happening in that space. And that's when we said, aha, this is what we want to do every single night. How do we get these two completely distinct groups of people where their two commonalities are, they live in Des Moines and they came down to Des Moines Social Club this evening for this specific event, how do we get them to mix? And we have to let it be done organically. We can do a little bit of it behind the scenes. What we're planning now, we have about 80 different events that we're going to be doing next year, and we're going to be unveiling all this in October. So what we're doing every day right now is slotting. How do we get these two different events on the same evening roughly next to each other? How do we do a wine tasting class where we get housewives from West Des Moines and we also have a hip-hop band performing in the bar at the same time? How do we mix these worlds? Some of it will work and some of it will probably be a complete disaster. And that's okay. We're going to keep figuring out how to do this as we go along. So that's the overarching goal of what we're trying to do, is basic understanding, community building. That's why we say we use art as a catalyst. We don't care whether the art is good. We hope it is, and 9 times out of 10, it's very, very good. But that's not the major goal of what we're trying to do. How do we bring people down? How do we get them out of their comfort zones without forcing them out of their comfort zones? And this is why the Orchestrate restaurant that's going to be opening in Des Moines Social Club is a key component of what we do. There are probably going to be 100,000 people a year that come and eat at that restaurant and never go into any other part of Des Moines Social Club. And that's fine. We want them to come down 4, 5, 6 times. By the sixth time, if they have not ventured out to at least see the art gallery or something else, then we're not doing our jobs. So we want to have basic things that bring people in, and then how do we mix it from there? So what the firehouse is going to have in it when we open, I'll just give you a quick sort of tour on it. I'm sure many of you know where it is. It's at the corner of 9th and Mulberry. It's an iconic 1937 Art Deco firehouse. There aren't many left in the country. So we are historically preserving the entire building, and we're putting it on the National Registry. So it's a lengthy process, as I've learned. The first floor of the main building will house Orchestrate's restaurant, Malo. It's nice to be able to actually talk about the name and what it is. I've known for a long time what the cuisine is, but I couldn't tell anybody. It's going to be awesome. They're planning a big taco bar as well, which should be cool. That's going to be the main part of the first floor with a big outdoor patio on Mulberry Street. Also on the first floor will be Cup of Kryptonite, which is a Beaverdale coffee shop and comic book store. They're going to be opening a satellite location with us. We wanted to create a place for 12 to 20-year-olds to be able to hang out to build the next generation, and that looked to be perfect for us. Also on the first floor will be our art gallery, which will be about 2,000 square feet of gallery space. Right now we're playing with the idea of doing shows every 2 weeks, constant momentum, and getting things moving through. I'd say about 80% local artists would be presented there. So that's the first floor, is the gallery, the coffee shop, the comics, and the restaurant. Upstairs, there's going to be a nonprofit office space for 4 to 5 different nonprofits. Right now it's going to be us, Civic Music Association will be officing out of there, Des Moines Music Coalition, the guys who do 8035, and a few other groups that we're talking to now are all going to be sharing space, sharing resources. How do we lower our bottom lines and start sharing things so that we are not competing with each other? We want to do joint fundraising, joint marketing. We want eventually to have joint staff. That's the direction that we're headed. There will be a recording studio on the second floor where we're talking to sponsors to be able to pay for hours for a lot of people in Des Moines that couldn't afford to record, mostly a lot of kids, to be able to come in 4 to 5 hours a week reserved for that so they can come in and lay down some tracks. There'll also be 3 educational classrooms. On the second floor, we'll be doing kids programming from about 3 to 6 o'clock on the weekdays. After 6, it'll be adult education classes in every single artistic discipline. We're going to be doing classes that are not done anywhere else. So we have so many different classes that we want to do, but there's fight choreography that we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing a makeup class. We've got a drag makeup class that somebody would like to teach. We've got capoeira class. There's a lot of different things that we're going to be doing. Then we have this really cool experimental space. If you've ever been up to the second floor of the firehouse, there is a handball court. A original handball court that was built there in 1937. You never would have known it if you went in there recently before we took it over, because it was used as office space and they put in a drop ceiling. But there's 18-foot ceilings in there. That's where we're going to be doing our acrobatic classes. So we have 4 sections of acrobatics that we're going to be offering starting next year. We're also going to use that space as an experimental space for visual art installations, large scale, video installations, sound installations, and so forth. The last piece of the second floor is going to be a brand new culinary program. This is going to be working with Orchestrate and several other groups in town to present classes on a whole spectrum of the culinary world, which should be a lot of fun. So that's the main building. Then you go outside. Behind that, there is what they use for parking right now. There's going to be a courtyard there. And we're putting up a 20-foot projection screen so that we can do outdoor movies, outdoor concerts, and outdoor shows when it's nice out during the summer. We're planning a community garden that'll be out there as well, but that'll probably be second phase. Lastly, you go to the back. There's another building in the back, which is the shop building where they used to fix the trucks. That's where our black box theater will be. That'll hold about 250 people when it's done in a proscenium setting. And in the basement there will be the main bar with a cabaret stage like we used to have. It'll hold about 200 people, and also on the roof of that building will be a rooftop deck and patio and bar up there. That's the important part. So that all of that is what's going to make up Des Moines Social Club when we open next spring. A basic timeline for now is that we're going to be doing our big New Year's Eve event. This will be the fifth anniversary of our bash that we do every year. Last year we had 1,100 people that came down to Capitol Square for this. This year we're hoping to exceed that. That'll be the first event in the firehouse. It'll be in the back building, and then we're going to be tenting and heating the outdoor area because the main building won't be finished yet. At the end of January, we'll start basic programming, and then end of March, early April, when the restaurant is ready, is when we'll be doing our grand opening, and I hope everybody can come to that. At the end of the day, what we want Des Moines Social Club to be is a place for everybody. There's always the phrase that you can't be everything to everybody. I completely disagree with that. I think you can. I don't think you can be everything to everybody every day, but I think you can do it every month. And we want to make sure there's at least one thing every month that appeals to everybody that is in Des Moines. And how do we mix these groups and plan it on the same evening? We've got 7 different event spaces in the complex. So there's a lot of different work that we can do. And we're going to be slowly building as we go. We have a survey out right now that's on our website at DesMoinesSocialClub.org. And if you would take a minute and fill it out, it would be very helpful to us. We're asking questions about our programming that we're thinking about for next year, just to get basic feedback before we unveil what we're actually going to do. And then in October, we're going to say this is what we're doing, and look for announcements as they come out. I will say we do have one more show this year before we go dark. Opening next week is Repertory Theater of Iowa's The Importance of Being Earnest. That'll be opening next week. That's our last show, or our last theater show, at the Kirkwood Building on 4th and Walnut, where we are right now. And I encourage all, it's going to be a great production. If you know the play, it's a fantastic show. And then our first show that'll open the Firehouse in February, RTI is going to be doing Thornton Wilder's Our Town. Will be a really fun show to open the space. So that's what we're trying to do. I think the work that you guys are doing is, you know, what we're trying to do would never be possible without the work that you guys have done, so many other groups here have done. This is a very special city, and I tell people that all the time, and I want to build upon it all the time. We need to be more progressive as a city. We need to be presenting ourselves, supporting specifically our young people. I'm working on trying to change some laws that are here in the city so that we can progress more faster with that. One of the big ones, to, if we really want to keep young people here and attract them more, is the underage law for music venues. If you're underage, you can't stay in a music venue after 9 o'clock. That hinders the entire music scene. You ask anybody in that world, they will tell you that. Right now, the law states that you have to have 50% of your business come from food sales in order to have underage kids stay after 9 o'clock. Well, every single downtown music venue doesn't serve food. And if they do, they certainly don't serve 50% of their sales in food. What I'm trying to lobby for is a change where you do it based on ticket sales. If 20% of your sales comes from tickets, then you can have kids staying there after 9 o'clock, which I think is a fair and reasonable adjustment. We need more pocket parks downtown. We need public basketball courts. We need public handball courts. We need public playgrounds. All of these things, these little things that we can do for our community to really push forward what we're trying to do as an entire city. So there's so much more, of course, and next year's or this coming year's city council election is going to be really interesting. But I'm really proud to be here. It's a wonderful city, and thank you guys for everything you're doing and for allowing me some time this morning. Questions? Yes, sir.
So how are you going to handle parking?
That's always the first question. next door to the firehouse is Wells Fargo's garage that's free after 5 o'clock. So that works out really well for us. That's where we'll do the bulk of our parking.
Good answer.
Thanks. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Just a comment. I think it's absolutely wonderful you tried mixing groups. I remember when I was in college, I had a professor and his wife who were absolutely fascinated. This is in Dubuque. And I was lucky enough to go to some of their parties. And you go to a party and they would say, you start talking to the person next to you. I said, well, how do you know Ruth and Russ? They just called and said, we needed a banker at our party. I couldn't, you know, it was so fascinating, I had to go. And they would just mix community at any party they had. They had no problems calling good strangers saying we need a banker, we need an insurance agent, or we need this or that. And then joining in college professors. I think, you know, what you're doing is on a larger scale. It's just,
thank you. It's actually, we've been toying with the idea of hosting dinner parties in the culinary school, doing just that idea of inviting very specific people to come along. So that's, we may end up doing that actually. Yes.
Are any of the art classes you're offering, did they clash with anything the Des Moines Art Center is doing?
There may be some minor overlap, but not really. We're trying really hard to make sure that the classes we're offering are not offered anywhere else. There may be some basic painting classes that might have an overlap, but probably not. Yes.
Do
I'm fascinated by the 2,000 square foot art area because I was teaching in art all my life, but I'm curious, is that area also open for events like parties too?
Absolutely, yeah. We say every single spot inside the club except for the restaurant is available to be rented out as for parties, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You announce the name Malo, or what's the cuisine?
They're calling it New Latin. So food from all Spanish-speaking countries, mostly South America and Cuba. And it does mean bad.
No, there was an article about it. Was in the restaurant.
Yeah, on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, there was a big article about the restaurant in Wednesday's paper.
With the loss next door, is there going to be time limits on...
What's that?
With the loss next door, are you running...
Oh, yes. We have a very very good relationship at the moment with the loss next door. We've agreed to end all amplified sound outside at no later than 10 o'clock. So it'll be an ongoing relationship with them. It's, at the moment, extremely positive. Yes, sir.
Will there be any changes to the outside structure of any kind?
Not really. We're going to clean it up a little bit.
What about the big doors that make it look?
We're actually going to be turning the doors to look like they did in 1937. So the doors that are on there now were put in the 90s and are really ugly. So they open like this as opposed. It's funny about the firehouse, and unfortunately you can't see it anymore because they just ripped up the concrete, but we have pictures. You know the big pillars in front of the building? At the bottom of the pillars, there used to be a concrete that came out like this, connected to the ground. They were beautiful, but there's a picture on the front page of Des Moines Register when the building opened in 1937 showing that the fire trucks didn't fit in the building. And there's a picture of construction guys chiseling off the sides of the pillars. And you could still see the lines up until last week when we took the concrete out. But it's really, there's so much history to that building. The guy who built it was the fire chief at the time was named William Burnett. And he spent 30 years of his life trying to raise the money to build this thing. And it was actually finally built through a WPA program under Roosevelt. And tragically, Chief Burnett died in a fire a year before the space was finished. He never got to see it. But his name is engraved on the outside of the building, and we're certainly keeping that, as well as all the emblems. We're not changing anything. We have historical tax credits as well, so we couldn't even if we wanted to, but it'll look exactly as it does now, but sparklier. Hopefully. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
You said you're going to have a bar in the place and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have designated drivers to walk people because the police travel that place, that area, constantly.
Oh, absolutely. We're investigating several designated driver programs. We would need that.
A couple times and you'd be out and be done.
That's true.
Because they had to come down on everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Thank you.
Of course. Yes, sir.
I'm just curious. You mentioned the mixing groups, which I think is great, but you sort of seemed to indicate that it was a Des Moines issue. And that you've been around, you said you studied 22 cities, I've lived in some other major cities. You think that's just a...
No, I don't
think. Does everybody segregate when they... You know,
I think everybody segregates, absolutely. But I think that with our... the population here, we're not big enough where it's so obvious to me that the separation. Larger cities, it's not as obvious, I don't think. But you're totally right that this is not a Des Moines problem in itself. It's an American problem. But there's a fabulous book called The Big Sort by Bill Bishop, where he talks about how it's mostly about elections and how people... There's been no landslide election in the last 30 years ever since redistricting. And because you go by county by county, all landslide elections rather, not no landslide. They're all just leaning one way or another. And not only do we hang out with like-minded people, we live amongst like-minded people. And I think that's the majority of not just this town, but many others. So I think that's a problem. Okay. Thank you again very much.